I love talking about the mystery of things because there are no answers. So I'm just going to sit back down and something strange happened overnight. I don't know how it happened. I don't know when it happened. But I reached into my briefcase that I carry every Sunday that has my fountain pen that I write my sermon notes with. And it wasn't in there, and I remembered I'd put it in another bag. So I, wrote with my pen, put it back in my bag. This morning on the way to church, I was looking for something in that same pocket, and there was this little terracotta frog in that pocket with a coin in its mouth, which is, you know, a symbol of prosperity and good luck. I don't know where this came from. I have no idea. It's like the terracotta gods dropped it in my bag overnight. So I'm not, if one of you snuck this into my bag sometime, thank you. But I don't know where this little frog came from. So he's just going to sit up here and look at y'all and put a little peace and prosperity out there for you as well, okay? Y'all could say, hey.
Hey.
Hey. Oh, my goodness, friends. A lot of what we talk about today is going to be a little bit of what we talked about last week and a little bit of what we talked about on Wednesday night. And I just want to let you know, if you really want to dig deeper into what we are talking about on Sundays, Wednesday night is the time to do that and the place to do that, because we really go deeply into it. If you're able to come, what's lovely about it, it's not me, just me teaching. It's the exchange that we have with each other and the truths that we share with each other that is a gift every time someone speaks, because it's a different perspective. And so we get just these incredible insights with each other that are more than just a light bulb coming on. It's a thought feeling that sinks down into our hearts. And so please come join us on Wednesday nights if you can, if you want to explore this a little bit further. So the question today is, who is God? And how do we describe God? And the first thing I will tell you is that in order to do that, you have to be getting very comfortable with paradox. And paradox is two seemingly opposite things that exist at the same time and place. Things that don't seem like they should be in a group are together. And so I pulled out my very first metaphysics book. I treat it very gently, that I got at Unity Village when I first went there to study as a student, not a ministerial student, just a congregant, 1988. Yeah, wow. I'm old. 1988, and you can't see it from there, but this book is so full of notes and highlights, and every time I look at it, it's another gift, because it takes me back to our very basic teachings. And every time I look at them, they have a different meaning and a different depth. So whatever your earliest truth teaching was, go revisit it every now and then, just to remind yourself of what it was that sparked you to explore new thought yourself. What was that thing that made you go, oh, wow, this is what I've been looking for? This appeals to my mind and my spirit. So let me just kind of breeze through the topics on what is God. There are readings from all of the great Unity writers here, but I'm just going to give you the topic titles. The nature of God is absolute good. God is the only absolute. Everything else is conditioned and limited. Okay? I'm going to say that again because we live in this physical world in which we believe that what we see and touch and feel and who we are is the absolute thing. The only absolute thing is God. Everything else, conditional and limited. Even our life on this earth, it's limited. You know, we have a finite span of time in this body. So when things feel like it's weighing your body down, remember that we're here for a limited time. And we have the choice to live in a light body. Not just light physically, but light as in the light of the divine. So the nature of God is absolute good. God is not a person. And, you know, we still do it, don't we? God said, thank you, God. It's okay that we do that because we're acknowledging, I think, we're acknowledging the crown chakra. We're acknowledging the highest level of our being, of our aura, of our energy field, whatever you want to call it, it's out here. So if that doesn't land with you, that's okay. Hang with it. Just hang with it. God is not a person. So try to avoid calling God by a pronoun. Because it gets tricky, doesn't it? We unconsciously say he. Because that's the way we were conditioned. But God is not a person. God is being. Well, okay, here we go. Being. God, the mind of the universe, composed of archetype ideas, life, love, wisdom, substance, truth, power, peace, and so forth. Being is omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. It is the fullness of God, the all good. And we have to be careful also, and I think I said this last week, when we're using adjectives like that to describe God, we're assigning our adjectives, our descriptors, to something that cannot be described. So when we use the word omniscient, that's an adjective for God, but really God is omniscience, all-knowing. God is not just omnipotent, God is omnipotence, all power. God is omnipresence, everywhere present. So, you know, if you start using descriptors for God, it gets a little tricky because then we're limiting it to our limited understanding. God has two aspects, the visible and the invisible, the abstract and the complete. God is spirit. God is principle. God as law is principle in action. I'm telling you, Wednesday nights, we're going to dive into this stuff because these are the basic things that we know. Everything, every idea that we hold. Every idea that we hold, luckily, does not all come into manifestation. No, if you ever find yourself wishing that somebody would just disappear into a hole in the ground, luckily, that does not come into manifestation. And luckily, the worst thoughts we have against ourselves, they will harm us only for so long until it's time to forgive. God is mind, God is substance, God is love. And here's the divine paradox. God is principle, which sounds kind of unfeeling, uncaring, abstract, But God is also personal. God is immanent inside us. God is transcendent outside of us. God is father and mother, and those are two words that we use to define aspects of the divine. Again, our limited descriptors, but we're doing the best we can. God is law and God is grace. And if you were here last year, I did a whole month of Sundays on the concept of grace. So you see, that's just, that was like 6 pages out of this book. And and so it's really difficult for us to be able to take our limited human words to describe God. Sometimes God is a thought. Sometimes God is a feeling. Sometimes God is a thought feeling. One of the things that we talked about briefly last week is that God does not have a finger, because God's not a person. God doesn't have a finger on the top of our head scooting us around life, saying, okay, go this way. All right, now go this way. Now do this. Now do that. God doesn't care what kind of car you have. God doesn't care if that person falls in love with you the way you want them to. And I don't mean God is uncaring, but you are the master of your fate. You're the designer of your life story. Now, what we do in our spiritual work is align ourselves as closely as we can to the will of God. And the will of God is not necessarily some kind of preordained path, because every choice can set up a whole different set of circumstances and events. Every single choice. Is anybody in here regretful of a choice that they made sometime earlier in their life? If we could have a do-over, there are certain things that we'd like to do over. But on the other hand, those not-so-wise choices were the best choices we could make at the time, and they taught us something. They either taught us, this works for me, or, boy, this does not work. And if you have choices in your life that you regret, beloved, if you haven't forgiven yourself, it's time to do that. Because the greatest gift we were given is the gift of free will. God implanted in us, God made in our DNA, that we have free will. That we can go whatever direction we decide to go. Now, somebody shared with me after last week's service that when we make a choice in our free will, that might be one of the times that we're the very closest to God. I want you to think about that for a minute. Because we're taking this gift that we've been given and we're deciding what to do with it. And that makes us very close to the Creator who gave us the gift. Now, doesn't that make you want to make choices that are more aligned with your highest good? Maybe that means don't eat the fourth brownie. That may mean don't go out with this person because they are bad news. No matter how much your stuff is telling you to go that direction, it may mean holding your tongue rather than speaking a word of anger. Because, and we're going to mess up. We are going to mess up. That is our nature as human beings. As long as we're wearing this skin, we're going to make mistakes. But the trick for us is to discover, this was not the direction that I could have gone. next time I will go the other direction. And say to yourself, ah, self, I know what you did there. I forgive you for any harm you might have done to yourself or another. And if you need to fix it with another, fix it with another. Make amends. So we're given this gift of free will, but the path that we have is not, oh, I'm going to have this job, I'm going to marry this person, I'm not going to marry this person, I'm going to have kids, I'm not going to have kids, I'm going to have excellent health, whoops, hit a detour here. It's about moving inexorably toward our highest good. The daily word reading today. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's it. And how we go about realizing the kingdom is up to us. On Wednesday night, we talked about does Unity believe in heaven and hell? Let's start with hell. Have any of you ever created any experiences in your life that were hellish? Have any of you ever experienced a moment that was pure heaven right here on earth? So you see, heaven and hell are our creation. Do I believe that there's a life after this one? Of course. There was a life before this one. Our spirits are eternal. Now, part of the great mystery is we don't know what it looks like when we leave here. We don't. We have an idea. We have mediums who tell us what other people say on the other side. But we won't know till we get there. And I think probably it's good that we don't know. I think it's a good thing that we get to live with that mystery. But one of the things that we don't have to live with is that we suffer here and then we get heaven later. Anybody else grow up with that particular belief? Oh my Lord. It's all right, you'll get your reward in heaven. Well, I'd rather have my reward right now, thank you very much. I choose not to delay my gratification. I want to have heaven right now. And you see, we have heaven with each other. I don't know if you saw it on our resource page, but our wildlife team and our grounds team worked yesterday. When you go out, you should go out this foyer door and look at all the weeds that got pulled. You should see how fresh it is. We had that great softening rain and then sunshine. Perfect time for pulling weeds. And there was you could look at the picture and see the sweetness and the union of the people that were working together with each other, doing that. You see it with this group of musicians. You see it with this team back here that makes sure that everything is spot on. And we see it when we connect with each other and we say, oh, you've been on my mind. I've been praying for you. I've missed you. Hello, my friend. My goodness, one of our YOU kids, I guess I hadn't seen him in maybe 2 weeks, maybe three. And I saw him today and he's grown like a foot. I mean, like, that's like, ouch. I mean, I bet if you sneaked into his room at night, you'd hear the squeaking sound of him growing. But suddenly, I'm seeing a transformation from this adolescent person to the young man that he's becoming. That's heaven. That's heaven right there. You know, we had baby talking to us at the beginning of the service. If babies don't remind you of heaven, all hope may be lost for you. I don't know. But that sweet newness, I have to tell you something. Wednesday night class knows this already. We put an owl house up in our backyard about 2 months ago. We have an owl. Oh, my goodness. He picked it out. And, you know, usually they kind of hang out for a year or two before they figure out where they want to nest. So one day I went out to just kind of peek and see if anything was going on in the owl house, and I saw what I thought were sticks for a nest. No, it was his little head. Little screech owl. So I saw about this much of him, and then he went right back inside. I said, okay, I'll leave you alone. A little gift of grace. A little power animal in my backyard. To live alongside all the chattering squirrels. It's okay. Last week we also talked about God being in everything, and I do want to say to you that we may not see God in something right away. You know, when there's a tragedy that happens, if somebody said that they had a young relative who had a horse riding accident, the horse fell, it broke her leg. Well, God does not mess with the laws of physics. If you are near a horse or on a horse and the horse falls on you, there's a chance somebody's going to be injured. You or the horse or both of you. When fires burn, God bless Australia. God bless the ancient prehistoric bristlecone pines. You know, why does God let this happen, we say? Because God is the law of nature. And if humans need to change their behavior in order to work in communion with the laws of nature, then that's what we need to be about. Tomorrow we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And you know, Martin Luther King Jr. was one of the heroes of my young life. And JFK was my president when I was a little girl. And you know, we've discovered in the years since their passing that they were perfectly imperfect. They were imperfect human beings. But Martin Luther King Jr. did so much good in this world because he listened to an urging in his heart that needed a voice, that needed action. And so he was perfectly lined up with the idea of justice and equality for all people. He was living that divine principle. He ignited a spark that has never gone out. It dims every now and then, but it's not gone. So tomorrow, think about that. And if you want to honor Dr. King, live your best life tomorrow. Live the principle that lives in you that's the highest and the best. Do that. See, I told you I couldn't tell you about God. If you need a little inspiration sometime, get on PBS or Netflix now has lots of things on it, Amazon Prime, Hulu, that all the streaming services have great programs that take us into nature, down to the most minute creatures, minute living things on the planet, to beyond our solar system. If you need a little inspiration for the size of God, the scope of God, the fullness of God, watch something there and let yourself be in awe. Yesterday I was driving a friend home and driving through the neighborhood. It was just at dusk, and there was a young man. I thought, what if I saw God in everything right now? There was a young man running. And I thought, there is God right there. There is a beautiful, divinely built engine in that human machine right there. Everything that young man is doing right now is divinely created and inspired. And there was a mom walking her kid in a stroller, and there were dead leaves on the ground, and there were trees that stay green all year, and there was asphalt that laborers at some point used their strength and their sweat to make sure that street was paved. Thank you, God. For all that I see right now, my eyes can't even take it all in. And we have to do that. We have to look for God all the time, not because God's missing, because we're missing God. And when we pray, we have to remember that we are not changing anything about God, not a thing. We're changing ourselves. We're identifying what it is that troubles us, what we think we need. We're identifying those things so that we can surrender them to that highest good. Healing doesn't always mean getting better. Sometimes healing means leaving this earth. You know? It helps us begin to grasp the mystery of things that trouble us, that seem contradictory, that seem too tragic. We have to be able to see something, not just to comfort ourselves, but to affirm that there is an order in the chaos that we see and experience. There is. And you don't have to grasp it right away, and for heaven's sake, don't throw it on somebody when they're going through a bad time. Be a good pastor, be a good shepherd to others. And when they're saying, I don't know why God let this happen, don't throw, well, God is principal, therefore, you know, stuff's going to happen, but you'll understand later. Don't say that. This is the time for you to give that empathetic, loving assurance that you're supporting them until they can support themselves through God's grace. So I'd like to share with you, this is my own interpretation as we get ready to, this is our meditation, but we're going to do it with our eyes open. So we say a prayer together, and you can say it with me if you'd like. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, there was a power in your voices just now because that ancient, I'm going to call it chant, that ancient chant brings for us either conflict or reassurance, because of its repetitiveness in our lives. But I want to offer something to you. When Jesus taught that prayer, we don't know exactly how he said that prayer, but what he was trying to establish is that God, people needed to acknowledge God as everything, and God as the provider of all, and God as the moving active force in lives. People hadn't thought about God quite that way before. So I'm going to give you a little bit of my interpretation of those words. Our Father who art in heaven, almighty, as and in the realm of perfection. Your name, the thought of you, is holy. And I use you as a pronoun because I don't have another one. Your kingdom is already here. May we see it. May we open our eyes to see it. The will of God is mine. May I see those in alignment with each other. Making sure I've got it in order here. You are an idea. You provide all the divine ideas. We bring them into manifestation right here on earth. Everything that I need is provided. Give us this day our daily bread. Everything that I need is provided. Not will be, is. May we not hold our mistakes against us. And may we not hold others' mistakes against them. May we not be distracted or attached to things that are less than godly, that are less than divine. May we not be distracted or attached. You are all that is. You are all that ever was. You are all that ever shall be. Amen. So just take that in. Just the thought of the divine is holy. You've heard it said that the ground upon which you stand is holy ground. And this comes about because we acknowledge God in the next breath and in the breath after that. In the beating of your heart. In the beauty and the mystery of the machine that empowers your body. In everything that happened to create the chair you're sitting on, the carpet upon which your feet rest, these walls, this roof, and above all, these beloved souls in which you share this room right now and who are joining us from elsewhere. All holy, all God. And beloved, if there is something in your heart right now that does not reconcile with that, let this be your prayer. May my eyes be opened that I might see. May my heart be open that I might understand. May my faith be made whole so that I might accept the mystery. May I be comfortable with the questions until the answers are revealed. May I always remember that God is beyond the understanding of my human mind, but it is not beyond the understanding of my questing heart. So breathe. Life-giving breath. Let your body just relax into God. Let go of any stress that you have. Know that healing is yours. Everything that you need is provided. Your next step will be apparent to you. Your mistakes are your teachers, your friends are your beloved companions. Whether you know each other or not, that's what we are to each other. So I'm going to ask you to open your eyes while the lights are still dim. Just open your eyes. Prayer hands, please, if you're able. Prayer hands. And what I see here in this room is a band of pilgrims, holy people, expressions of absolute good in the best way we know how. And so it is.